It's Monday morning, and I'm going to flashback on a conversation John and I and a bunch of other writers had in the Timberwolves writing room on Sunday night. And we were talking about the Pro Bowl, and we were talking about just how weird and silly it looked. And I said, you know, I think next year they're going to have Peyton and Eli just play Scrabble. And I think the consensus in the room was that everybody would prefer watching Peyton and Eli play Scrabble to watching what happened on Sunday.
Yeah, I got in the car to drive to the Wolves game and had my radio on KFan. And as I'm backing out, I'm just hearing just a normal broadcast, like play-by-play situation going on. We're like, what is going on? What are they talking about? And then it really did dawn on me that not only has the league shifted to a flag football event for the Pro Bowl, but this was actually on the radio being called as if it were some real game. And I just kind of shook my head and couldn't believe it. But as we also said last night, it probably is going to draw a huge rating. Like, it's probably going to be more than game two of the NBA Finals. That's just the addiction that this country has to football. And that's the way it is. But yes, I mean, you could do away with it. You could sub in Scrabble. We could do, a jump rope competition. Anything would be more compelling than just flag football, for sure.
And I'll check myself here, too. By the way, this is the Viking Update Show. This is part of TalkNorth.com. We will talk about the Vikings defensive coordinator search lately. Later, we will also talk about the upcoming Super Bowl and other Vikings issues. You can also listen to Jeff Diamond's Vikings and NFL Insider on the network. When you find a show you like on our network, subscribe to your favorite podcast app. It's free. It's easy. Thanks again to our producer, Brandon Morton. And we're coming to you from the Aquarius Home Services Studios. We'll tell you more about Aquarius later on. I will say that I was in favor of them experimenting, because I thought the Pro Bowl itself was a joke and I never watched. And then I watched like two plays of the flag football and I thought, okay, this is worse.
Yeah, I watched just a little bit of it too while it was on in the media room. And I guess I don't know what I was expecting. But you do just look at it and you're just like, you know, what are we doing here? Like, why is any of this necessary? And, you know, like I would be much more inclined to just like some sort of overall skills competition. Like, they had the NFL quarterback challenge back in the day. I used to watch that a lot. That was fun. They're throwing at moving targets and stuff like that. And I know they did a few things that way with like a toughest catch and stuff like that, but it's just it's just not for me. I don't know. And I'm sure, like I said, I'm sure there's a ton of people that watched it and got a kick out of it. The players seem to be enjoying themselves, running around and kind of doing it that way. But overall, you just kind of scratch your head at why we are even being asked to do this and go through this charade. But then it gets the same coverage that the AFC Championship game gets. And so it's a statement on the appetite for football in this country, knowing there's only two more weeks of it. There's this week and the Pro Bowl, and then next week and the Super Bowl. And then you go on hiatus for a long time. And I think just people don't want to let go of that yet.
I agree. I was talking to somebody about the hierarchy in American sports yesterday, and you know, I'm old enough that I remember when baseball actually put up a fight to be the number one sport in the country. They lost the fight, but it was at least, you know, it was more of a TKO than a complete knockout. Now, it's like there's nothing else on the same scale as the NFL in terms of gross popularity and revenues and power, and nothing's going to change that. And I'm not even arguing against it, because I love watching the NFL. I love writing about the NFL. I love the fact that it always feels big. But, you know, the amazing thing is that it's probably the league and the sport that has the most problems, you know, concussions, severe injuries, labor issues. I mean, they have and none of it matters. Their popularity they've reached a point where they are popular because they're popular. they're not even popular because of what they actually do anymore. They're popular because they have, they reached the apex and just camped there.
They're too big to fail, Jim. Like that's what it is right now. And yeah, like I love watching it too. It's just, but it is also, it's a game that is perfectly designed for what society is right now, which is short attention spans. It has found the clear secret and understands it, that scarcity is actually a good thing. And I think that with baseball, with hockey, with basketball, and all of the games that they play in the regular season, it dilutes the importance and the intensity of it in a way, whereas the NFL, even when they expanded to 17 games, it's still just 17 games. And each one is event, each one is really important, and they have injected all sorts of measures into the collective bargaining agreement to make sure that there is parity in the league, which is a great, great thing. They understand that, hey, it's really important that Green Bay as a market is as big as Dallas is, and for us. And that is something that a lot of the other sports, my favorite sport, the NBA in particular, has had a very hard time sort of trying to grapple with and trying to master. And the NFL has done an incredible job with it because it is a great product during the season. Game in and game out, very close games, games that mean a lot, high intensity, all of those things for 3 hours a week. That's what the investment requires. And it's just, it's been very shrewdly and well shaped and designed by the power brokers. And now they are reaping the rewards of that. They have done a great job of designing this game to appeal to the modern audience. And now there is no hierarchy. It's a dictatorship. It's the NFL, and then it's everything else. And that's why there is a flag football game on Sunday, and why I'm sure it's going to draw a really big number in the ratings department compared to anything else that was on TV at the time.
No doubt about it. And it goes back to something I kind of invented a phrase back when I first started writing columns about, and I was trying to explain why the NFL would be so popular and soccer would be so relatively unpopular in America. And I came up with, Americans need a suspense mechanism. We yes. need the sense that there is something that is about to happen that matters. And football has that with scarcity of games. Football also has that with downs. You know, every third, I mean, at most, there'll be an important play every three play. I should say at the least, there'll be a very important play every three downs, a down that determines whether you get to keep the ball or you have to decide whether to kick or go for it or whatever else. And then you have a relative lack of plays. You have time between the plays to build suspense. You have time between games to build suspense and add time for speculation. It's perfect for TV audiences. It's perfect for Americans.
Yeah. And also, like, the one of the fun, really fun parts about it that I'm sure has coaches tearing their hair out over, it's an extremely complicated game, but it's at the base level, it's very simple. And so any fan can watch and say, why did they call that play? You know what? No, I would have done this. This player is the guy I'm drafting for my fantasy football team. Like, there is a relatability from the fan base to the game itself that allows fans to believe they can be armchair GMs and coaches in a much, I think, more direct way than baseball or basketball or soccer or hockey or any of these other sports. And so I think it has a way of just connecting with the fan base. And every 30 seconds, there's a debate. Did they call the right play? Should they have run it? Should they have passed it? Who did the quarterback throw to? Why did they miss that person or that? And so in this debate culture that we are in, you literally have 75 of them per game if you want to do it that way. And so it just breeds that sort of discourse, disagreement, all of that stuff that just keeps you going. It's a dopamine hit like every whatever, 40 seconds of the play clock.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, the greatest thing that NFL general managers and coaches ever did was make the coordinator positions very visible and important. Mm-hmm. Because now, if they run the ball and it doesn't work, they should have passed it. If they passed the ball and didn't work, they should have run it. And you can blame everything on the coordinator.
100%. Yep. And their coordinators are making huge money, just like head coaches are. They're kind of propped up as the next big thing, or the scourge of the century in Ed Donatell's case. And they provide targets for either admiration or scorn. It's moss to a flame. It's all so perfectly designed for this modern consumption and the way that fans consume and absorb sports that you couldn't do it much better. You really couldn't.
Let's get to the Vikings' search for a defensive coordinator. We're talking here on Monday morning, mid morning on Monday. And it sounds like Evero is out, which is a shame because he's a talented young guy. And Desai pulled out. It sounds like at the moment it might be down to Brian Flores, who is the person I always preferred to get this job, and Mike Pettine, the assistant coach currently on the staff, who has been a defensive coordinator before. I wanted Flores all along. Now I want him more than ever. There may be an advantage to Pettine. He may know exactly what went wrong and how to fix it by being in the room. He obviously has a good relationship with O'Connell. There are a lot of ways that could work, but I would not feel comfortable handing over this defense to anybody who was involved in this defense last year.
Yeah, I mean, I think like it seems like the decision-making process now is down to, do you really sort of hire someone like Flores, who probably is going to take much more ownership of the defense and maybe shape it and reshape it in the way that he sees fit? Or do you go more with Pettine, who is probably more in lockstep with the overall philosophical choice that Kevin O'Connell made on what kind of defense he wants to run? And I think that's going to be a big deciding factor. Or maybe they're going to have to go to Pettine by default if Brian Flores is the next one who pulls out of the running here. And I do think it is notable that, you know, the Denver defensive coordinator did not even take an interview, I think, with the Vikings. And, correct, you know, you look at it, is that more so about the personnel? Is that about the expectations? Is that about, is there kind of a dogmatic approach to what kind of defense they need to run here? That I'm not sure. But it's clear that he was the top candidate on many people's boards for being hired. And when a candidate of that ilk doesn't even give you an interview, that tells you that maybe there's something else going on here that needs to be examined and really taken a look at, of why you couldn't land, you know, even a conversation. The Vikings should always be in the conversation with the foundation they built, with the organization that they have, with the facilities, with all of these things. And to not even be in the conversation there, I think it's a real concern about, you know, what the word is about where this defense is, about what they want and how they want to go about fixing it. That's going to be something that they have to examine and take a look at why they couldn't even land an interview.
Yes. And I do wonder if it's as simple as they looked at the defensive talent and said, oh, man,
it's possible.
I'm going to have to get rid of all the old popular players. I'm going to have to start with a bunch of young players who don't know what they're doing. And it might take years.
It could be. But here's the thing about that, Jim, is like, yes, I think that is a very real possibility that many coordinators are looking at and just like, hey, look, you're a lot further away than maybe you even want to believe. And this is going to take time. But in the NFL, if you can't make big changes and big improvements to your roster with two draft classes, which is what Kwesi will have had, and two free agent classes, that's a problem. There are not five, 6 year rebuilding projects anymore in the NFL if you are doing things the right way. If you are making good decisions, you're drafting the right players, you're signing the right players in free agency, it should take you no more than 2 years to really kind of change around a unit and inject it with youth and athleticism and players that fit whatever style and scheme that you are approaching. And so that's my look at it, but it is, you know, it is clear that the Vikings, by virtue of where they finished in the defensive rankings, are as far away as any defense in terms of being a competitive group. But you'd hope that you'd just, you know, you'd be able to set up things where you could tell these guys, like, look, give us a year and a half, and we'll have you restocked with talent and ready to roll. And then when you make the improvements, you'll be in a great position to get a head coaching job somewhere because of your effect on it. But I do think we don't want to obscure that there's a lot of work that needs to be done on the roster itself to get it to a group that is ready to compete next season.
Yes, it's going to be fascinating to watch. We'll keep you updated on that. Let's get to the Super Bowl. But first, let's thank TSR Injury Law, sponsor of many programs across the Talk North platform, sponsors the John Krasinski Show, and always has. Just all you need to know, 612-TSR-TIME. If you're injured, you're going to need good, ethical, aggressive representation. They will provide that. They will not charge you unless they win your case. They've won so many cases that they've gone from a very small shop to one of Minnesota's great business success stories, with beautiful offices down in Bloomington that we visited. 612-TSR-TIME, 612-TSR-TIME. That's what you need to remember if you are injured. Also want to thank Aquarius Home Services.
The holidays are over and we're all dreaming about spring. But at Aquarius Home Services, we know old man winter isn't done with us yet. Remember last year? We had snow in April. That's why at Aquarius, we're offering $98 off any furnace repair. With your safety and comfort as our top priority, we'll treat your home and time with respect. We'll provide options that make sense with upfront, no surprise pricing. We're just a click away at AquariusHomeServices.com. Aquarius, earning the right to be recommended.
As we talked about earlier, one real football game left in this season, Eagles against Chiefs. Two months ago, you told me this is the matchup. I thought that'd be great. Mahomes against Hurts, two really good organizations. Eagles, remarkable roster building. The Chiefs, you know, winning even after trading away their number one wide receiver, Hall of Fame coach. They're so many great angles to this story, and I am looking forward to watching it. It does bother or worry me a little bit that both quarterbacks are banged up. These are two incredible athletes, and I hate the fact that they might not be at 100% for the biggest game of the year.
Yeah, it is a shame that way, and I do think that these are the two best teams, that they have been the best teams all year long. So when you get the matchup of your two best teams, the potential for a really, really good game is at its highest. And I am hopeful that the 2 weeks in between games, kind of what, you know, the treatments and things that they're going to be able to do will at least get them to both to a point where they are maybe not 100%, but just like will have the ability to put on a good show. If they don't, that would be really disappointing, because I do think that this does have the potential to be just a great, great football game. And I was, you know, rooting for the Bengals because I'm a Burrow guy, and I wanted to see the Bengals in over the Chiefs. But this is a great matchup. And so if Hurts and Mahomes can at least be 75-80% and out there making plays and have that ability, I'm really looking forward to watching the game. But yeah, I go into it with a little trepidation because of that as well.
Who do you like?
I think the Eagles are the better team all around. I think Mahomes is the best player. And so I'm going to take the Chiefs because I just think I'm going to... I think that Mahomes can carry a team just to a little bit higher degree. And so I think he's going to be ready. He's going to go after it and try and make a statement. and win the Super Bowl. And so I'm going with the best player over the best team, even though I think it's really going to be evenly matched.
Fascinating, because I'm trying to learn from my mistakes in picking past Super Bowls, past big games, and I would always default to the better quarterback. And it has that approach has burned me. And one of the times it burned me was when the Eagles played the Patriots in the Super Bowl here. I thought, okay, yeah, the Eagles are the better team, but it's Brady against Nick Foles. Of course Brady's going to win that. The Eagles had so much a better team that it didn't matter. And I think the Chiefs are a great team. I think the Eagles are on another level in terms of overall personnel quality and depth. I think they have the two best wide receivers that will be playing in this game. They have a very good tight end. He's not as good as the Chiefs tight end, but he's a very good tight end. They have productive running backs. They can run the ball with their quarterback. They can control the line of scrimmage, great offensive line, great three on all three levels on the defense. I think the Chiefs really do need Mahomes to be brilliant. And as well as he played in the last game, high ankle sprains just don't completely go away this quickly. I'm just not sure he can do all the magic things he has to do against this defense. So I'm gonna take the Eagles. I do expect it to be a close game.
Yeah, I think that all of that is right, and they are the better team, and so especially that defensive front is going to make Mahomes run around, and can that ankle hold up while being chased by Hassan Reddick and all the guys that they have up front there. And so I think, Jim, I think it comes down to, I don't want the Eagles to win. Like, I just don't. I don't enjoy that. I'm not going to, get everybody mad at me, but I would rather see the Chiefs win. I don't want to see the Eagles win. And so I'm probably picking it more out of emotion than brains. But hey, screw it. Why not?
Well, and listen, the Eagles are kind of a fascinating case, because they might have the worst fan base in professional sports. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's horrible. And every Viking fan who went to that NFC Championship game knows it. And a lot of Eagles media try to defend it, and it's disgusting. And the cops were absolutely on the side of people breaking the laws. I mean, it was a horrible scene. It really was. And so I think it's a horrible fan base. I think it's kind of a cool city. If you can separate Eagles fans from the rest of the city, it's kind of a cool city. I thought that the Eagles team that showed up here for the Super Bowl really was classy and really good to be around all week, and did not reflect their fan base. And I think Jalen Hurts is a really cool guy and a great leader. So I'm very torn. I don't want to see Eagles fans happy, and yet I like a lot of things about their franchise.
Yeah, I mean, from a pure team standpoint, in the way that Howie Roseman has built that team, it's really, really impressive. Well, the draft well, also sees a window open, so he goes and gets Ndamukong Suh and Linval Joseph and all these other guys, goes all in. Like, I love all of that about it. It's just like the prospect of joy coming to that group of fans. Like, that's a hard one to swallow sometimes.
Oh, no doubt about it. And the other thing is the Chiefs, they have that franchise was lousy for a while.
Yeah.
And even when they were lousy, it became a kind of a great scene. I mean, we know as writers, we usually try to get to NFL City, we try to get to the stadium well ahead of the rest of the fan base. You can't in Kansas City. They're out there like 6 a.m. for whatever time the game started. They've turned and it's a really interesting thing, because I started covering baseball games there a long time ago, and I covered a Vikings game there, I think in 1990 or something. And they just did so many things right there. They put two stadiums on a chunk of land that they weren't using for anything else, and they built two excellent stadiums next to each other, the baseball stadium and the football stadium, shared parking lots, designed in a way that they're kind of timeless. Nobody's ever saying you should tear down Arrowhead or tear down Royal Stadium. Both great places to attend games. fan base can go tailgate anytime they want. And listen, I prefer the downtown. I like Target Field being right here. I'm looking at it out my window. I love the downtown model. I think that's the ideal if you can pull it off. But for sustainability and not having to go to the taxpayers all the time and having a place fans can really enjoy to go going to games. I mean, Kansas City nailed it. And then you add in the fact that they have the most entertaining player in the league, an innovative offensive coach. That is a cool scene.
Absolutely. And I've never been, but I've always wanted to go because you see it. And I have friends who have been there. I have a bunch of friends who have worked in that town at what was an incredibly good newspaper for a long, long time. I've heard all sorts of stories about the tailgating, about the way that, the Chiefs are just kind of embedded there and just the overall, I was also always told that, for outdoor stadiums, Arrowhead was the loudest that there was. And so that's cool. Like all of that is cool. It just seems like a really cool, I guess, overall scene. Yes. And so, to have that rewarded, I'd be all for that for sure.
Yeah. And I think it's either Seattle or Arrowhead is the loudest. Yep. It's one of those two, and they both have great fan bases and going to a game, there's a blast. And listen, you know, we go to a lot of ballparks, a lot of stadiums, and there's some places you go and you go, God, I wouldn't buy a ticket here. You know, I remember going to MetLife Stadium for a couple of games and they just spent $1 billion to put, and I thought, this place is nothing. There's nothing special about it. It's not pleasant to be here. It's not pleasant to park here. It's not pleasant to drive here. The wind just hurtles through the openings in the stadium. It's cold. I mean, you know, Arrowhead, I would love to go to a game there. You know, I've always loved going to games at Royal Stadium, whatever it's been called over the years. And it's got a feel to it. And I'll also say this, that there have been a number of anecdotes that have come out through the years of Patrick Mahomes, like going out with his girlfriend or, you know, now his wife for pizza or something, and people leave them alone. You know, they like respect that he's there on his own time. So I do think it's a good scene, and that gives me every reason to cheer for the Chiefs, even if I'm picking the Eagles.